Welcome everyone to our first ever episode of the High Performance Playbook. My name is Carly Campbell and I'm based in Toronto, Ontario. I'm starting this podcast because I'm passionate about combining data-driven strategies with a people-first approach. As an SE manager at Salesforce, I have learned to embrace the fast-paced and high-performance nature of the tech industry and can't help but notice so many parallels between my work and my background in high-performance sports. With my background in collegiate and professional hockey, combined with over a decade of coaching competitively, I'm driven to inspire teams to thrive by blending lessons from high-performance sports with corporate excellence. I'm here with my co-host, Taylor Carter, to kick us off.
Okay, Carly, so let's dive in. I want to start by talking about a strategy that really stood out to me from an article in the Harvard Business Review, the Performance Pyramid. Like, I love how it breaks it down into these four interconnected layers: physical, emotional, mental, and spiritual. It's like this map for staying on top of your game. Whether you're an athlete, a CEO, or I don't know, a podcast host juggling two cups of coffee and a half-baked outline.
Exactly. The performance pyramid is such a great framework because it treats high performance as this holistic process. At the base, you've got your physical well-being. That's the foundation. Then emotional balance builds on that, helping us connect with others and manage stress. And further up, you have mental acuity, our ability to focus, make decisions, adapt. Finally, at the top, you've got spiritual capacity, connecting to purpose, finding meaning. When these elements interact effectively, you're operating in what Lauren Schwartz call the ideal performance state.
Right. And their take on stress totally flipped how I used to think about it. They don't see stress as the enemy. It's actively necessary for growth, but only if you pair it with recovery. Carly, I swear, I was that teammate who didn't get this in college. I'd train hard, grind through classes, skip meals, and then wonder why I crashed mid-season.
Exactly. That's the missing piece for so many people. The key is oscillation, this rhythm between stress and recovery. It's not about working constantly. It's about being deliberate in how you recover after you push yourself. And recovery doesn't just happen by chance. Developing rituals, exercise, mindfulness, even a proper sleep schedule creates consistency and resilience.
And having teammates hold you accountable helps too. Back in school, we'd keep each other on track with morning workouts before class. But it wasn't just physical. Like, I set this rule where I'd unplug after midnight, no matter what I was working on. It wasn't perfect, but those little moments of balance made a huge difference.
That's such a relatable example. And honestly, those habits scale up for executives too. I saw this firsthand when I was coaching Team Ontario. When we implemented structured recovery periods during nationals, like pregame activation or just time away with their parents, it re-energized the players physically, but it also boosted their focus and mindset.
Wait, so let me ask you, where does the spiritual side tie into all this? Because I feel like people hear that word and think, what? Yoga retreats?
Fair question, Tay. Spiritual capacity isn't just yoga or meditation. It's that deeper purpose that fuels your drive. With my team, the championships weren't about just another medal. They were about representing something bigger. That shared vision creates alignment and keeps everyone motivated, even through setbacks.
Okay, wow. I love how it's about finding your why, like connecting to something bigger than the grind. And without that, all the physical training doesn't really mean as much, right? It's just mechanical.
Exactly. Purpose breathes life into your efforts. It's the layer of the pyramid that makes everything else click, tying your energy towards a clear direction.
So, lesson learned, stress isn't the bad guy, recovery is non-negotiable, and finding your mission, that's the ultimate game changer. All right, Carly, speaking of purpose and teamwork, I've got to say, when I think about team cohesion, I always go back to this one game in high school. It's like 2 minutes left, we're down by one, and someone yells, "Switch to zone defense." But half the team thought we were sticking to man-to-man. Complete chaos on the court. It was like we were playing two entirely different games.
Oh, I can just see it. Miscommunication like that is exactly why cohesion and clear communication are critical. I mean, in elite sports and even in the workplace, alignment is a game changer. If communication breaks down, even the best strategies can unravel.
Right. And it's not just about what's said, but how it's said. Like, one coach of mine, after that game, started implementing this rule. no changes without verbal confirmation from at least two players. It was all about making sure the message landed.
That's such a great example of building a system. And that ties right into one of the four pillars of team cohesion, communication. Teams that excel don't just talk, they adapt their communication styles to ensure understanding across the board. It creates what we call psychological safety, where everyone feels confident to ask questions or double-check decisions.
Psychological safety. Okay, love that phrase. And leadership fits right into that, right? Like, I remember how you've talked about adaptability as a coach. That flexibility must have played a role during those gold medal Team Ontario runs.
Absolutely. Adaptability is everything, especially under pressure. During a game, how many times have you had your star player have to leave because of injury? Instead of panic, you reassign roles and you make sure everyone understands exactly how their responsibilities shift. Your leadership style has to be dynamic, not rigid, to handle the changes effectively while keeping morale high.
That's such a powerful example of leadership adjusting the sail, not the goal. And it's not just about authority, right? It's about being part of the team in a way that earns trust.
Exactly. The most effective leaders set the tone for the entire team. They demonstrate what collaborative behavior looks like through actions, not just words. That's where supportive team behaviors fit in so seamlessly. Supporting one another isn't just a nice to have, it's foundational to performance.
Oh, totally. I think back to moments where a teammate had my back during practice, picking me up after I messed up a play. You don't forget that level of support, and in the corporate world, backing each other up must feel just as essential, right?
For sure. Supportive behaviors in any setting, whether it's covering for a sick coworker or being the first to dive in when a task needs ownership, build trust and momentum. And when leaders highlight those actions during feedback sessions, it amplifies the impact even more.
Feedback? Yes, the fourth pillar we haven't fully tackled yet. I feel like that's a tricky one, though. It can lift you up or, you know, completely derail you if it's delivered wrong.
You're spot on. Feedback requires finesse. It's not just about identifying gaps, but encouraging alignment with team goals. When done right, it reinforces strengths and creates clarity on what needs improvement. Positive feedback builds confidence, while constructive feedback creates growth opportunities.
So, to sum it all up, solid leadership sets the tone, supportive behavior builds trust, communication avoids those cringeworthy breakdowns, and feedback? That's like the oil that keeps the whole machine running smoothly.
Exactly. Together, these components transform a group of individuals into a cohesive, high-performing team.
Which only makes me wonder, how do we keep that cohesion when the stakes and demands pile up? Like, say, balancing corporate deadlines on no sleep. All right, Carly, you raised a great point about maintaining cohesion when demands pile up. It's got me thinking, how much of what we've learned about physical recovery, emotional intelligence, and team cohesion can actually apply to what I like to call corporate athletes? Should bosses start stealing strategies straight from playbooks in pro sports?
Totally. When you think about it, most corporate environments demand even more sustained performance than sports. Athletes train all week to compete. Executives are in the equivalent of game day mode, day in, day out, for years. It's why those wellness strategies, like energy oscillation we talked about earlier, are non-negotiable.
Right. And you know what's wild? Most people in the office never even consider those cycles. They think burnout is just part of the hustle. Like, skip a meal, grind through, collapse later. You see it all the time, right?
Exactly. But the science and personal experiences, like mine as a coach, show the opposite. Recovery isn't a weakness. It's a skill. When corporate teams intentionally plan moments to recharge, whether through structured breaks, team retreats, or even mindfulness programs, they see better focus, lower turnover, and more engagement.
Oh, for sure. One time I coached a sleep-deprived intern into, like, celebrating her first no-email Saturday. And she came back Monday like a productivity superhero. It's so simple when you think about it, but hard to believe till you live it.
Absolutely. And the same goes for clarity in communication and feedback. Those things need to be regular rhythms in any setting, whether it's assigning roles mid-game or reviewing a project in a way that lifts rather than criticizes.
Okay, so what would you say to someone sitting at their desk right now, feeling totally out of sync from the grind?
Start small. Commit to one recovery habit, like unplugging every evening or even just eating lunch away from your screen. Pair that with honest feedback loops. Ask your team what setbacks they're facing and how you can support them. Tiny actions add up.
Yes, and remember your why. Whether it's family innovation or hitting milestones, your purpose is your anchor. Without it, all the work can feel empty. Connect with it daily if possible, and you'll feel everything click into place.
Couldn't have said it better. Purpose creates sustainability, and combined with the right habits, it elevates performance from surviving to thriving.
That's the secret sauce, folks. Stress but recover. Lead by example. Communicate like champions. And don't forget to keep sight of your purpose, because that's where the real magic happens.
And that's all for today, everyone. Thanks for tuning in to the first ever episode of the High Performance Playbook. We'll see you next time.